So learning today is sponsored by Adam and Eliza Mervis, Lili Nishmas, Menachem Mendel ben Kalman. So,
Kalman ben Menachem Mendel.
I'm sorry?
Kalman ben Menachem Mendel.
Let's try that again. It's sponsored, Lili Nishmas, Kalman ben Menachem Mendel. I think I read it backwards or something. Okay. I just want to touch on the halachas, maybe an appropriate halachas topic, is the halachas of Netilas Yadayim. So I have in this week's parsha the story of the halacha of the Kiyor, the Kohen before he goes into the, any Kohen goes into the Beis HaMikdash to do Avodah, has to wash his hands and feet. So the Rashba, which the Beis HaMikdash brings down in the Siman Daled, was discussing for the morning, does it require a kli or not? That was the question. Now let's clarify, just for the Tilas Yadayim in the morning, the Zohar, the Gemara, Shabbos, the Zohar say that there's an issue of Ruach Ra, the person sleeping, there's a Ruach Ra on his hands, which has to be removed. That's not what we say Al Tilas Yadayim for in the morning. When you say Al Tilas Yadayim in the morning, it's not for the Ruach Ra. There's a Tosis in Chulam which says that anytime which we do, he asks the question, why don't we make a bracha on Maimar Karnim? So the Mor says, Maimar Karnim was encouraged because there were different types of chemicals remaining on the hands from the foods that a person ate, which were dangerous. Anything which you do because of Sakana, we don't make a bracha, Tosis says. So the Ruch, removing the Ruch Ra is a Sakana issue. So Tosis says, according to Tosis, you do not make a bracha. But we make a bracha. The bracha is a different issue. So the Rosh says the bracha was Chazar Masakim. Before we daven, our hands, to have a level of pure cleanliness you need for daven, you have to wash your hands. And that requires a bracha. And according to the Rosh, you'd actually make the bracha before Shachar, Mincha, and Maariv. You have a chiyuv until before Shachar, Mincha, and Maariv, and you would make a bracha. Pashas, according to the Rosh, there's no need to use a kli. You want to remove the Ruach Ra, you have to wash with a kli three times, etc. That's the Ruach Ra issue. This is not the Ruach Ra issue. This is preparing yourself for tefillah. For that, any cleansing process is sufficient. That's according to the Rosh. The Rashba was asked if you need a kli. He says it would seem to him that the reason why you need a kli is because the same way the Kohen, as he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Mishkan, to do his Avodah, he needs to prepare himself with washing his hands. So a person would start his day. A day is a day of Avodah Hashem. So a person has to come into his day by washing his hands. So it's comparable to the Netila of the Kohen from the Kiyor. He doesn't say for davening, interestingly. He says for the day of service of Hashem. And that is, therefore there's no, you make the bracha once a day, according to him, not for Mincha Maariv, it's not connected to davening at all.
And do you need a kli for that?
And just like the Kiyor, where there was a requirement that it had to be from a kli, Kiyor was considered a kli. Mm-hmm. And actually the luck is in cases where they couldn't use the Kiyor, they would use a kli instead. So same thing over here. So that's for the Netila for davening. I'm not going to get involved in those halachas right now. I found a very sweet sefer. He took the parsha of the Kiyor, and he took every word of the parsha of the Kiyor, made a Rosh HaTevis out of it, and learned all the halachas of the Tilas Yadayim out of the parsha of the Kiyor. He went through the and then he has you know the Rosh HaTevis on top, and then he has the beer on the bottom, each line what it means. So. But a little short pamphlet. So he ties it into the idea of the Tilas Yadayim for meals as well. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Chazal gave it two reasons why we wash before meals. One is because of that they should have the kiyus, we should be clean. The more ties into the idea of the kiyus and kedusha. The second reason the more gives is called Sirach Truma, that the kahanim, there was a lot of Yadayim were considered tamei for truma purposes, for kachin purposes, and a kohen would have to wash his hands for truma purposes and for kachin purposes. In order to get the kahanim into the mode of washing their hands, because our masakin, that he so would also wash his hands under certain circumstances. Now, the kohen would be washing his hands much more often for truma and for kachin than we're going to wash. He had to wash any time he ate any peri, whether the peri was wet or wasn't wet. There's a law you had to wash your hands. That doesn't apply for you. What we do, we only wash your peris which are wet. There's actually some sheet hole we don't wash for that at all, which is maybe with Pshat the Minigarlam. Some people are lenient in that, but the Mishnah Berurah passes you should wash for that. We wash only if we're going to be eating. Only if we're going to be eating. The Kohen, anytime he touched Truma, he would have to wash his hands, but at least in some way, there's a parallel between washing for Truma and washing for non-Truma. So that's the second reason. We pass in both reasons in Halacha, and the Bir Halacha talks about there possibly some will be some differences between the two. We're machmer both ends. Okay. Interestingly enough, a person only makes a bracha of Alat Yisadayim if he plans to eat a kebaya. Because since we're tying into the world of Tuma, and the world of Tuma, that the power to metama something requires a kebaya, so that we only make a bracha if you're Alat Yisadayim if you're planning to eat a kebaya. Now there's a gra which says you make a bracha even on a kazayas. Mishabura doesn't pass in like that. But one thing I think is relevant, let's say the night of the Seder, when we wash our hands, we say no bracha. Right? Well, for sure it's no bracha because less than a kazayas. It's a bracha levatol if you make it less than a kazayas. So now the person would wash his hands and made a bracha by mistake. It's a common issue. Like, you know, well, he says, no bracha. And he says, bracha to Hashem. I watched somebody do that. I was like, great. Like, no bracha to Hashem. What did you just do? are you awake or not? So I told me the kazayas. Because right, as it says right now, it's a bracha levatol. If you had a kazayas, at least according to the Gemara, you'd be chayav to make al bracha on the hitzudayim. So the Mishabura then raises the following question: is there a chiyav netila less than a kazayas? So Mishabura in Hilchos Hitzudayim writes that there's no chiyav netila for pas or for peiris. Then he says in a footnote from him, he was magia later on, and when he got later on to Hilchos, the halachas of the Seder, he said that the Torah passes, you have to wash, you feel less than a kazayas. So he came back, he wrote a note at the bottom. When I got there, I realized, even though I have many rayas that should not be so, but the Torah says you have to wash, and batla daitli yetzal daitli. So any amount that you're going to be eating, you'll be washing, according to the maskara of the Mishabura, but you don't make a brach unless you're eating a kebaya's worth of. Now, how big is a kebaya? It's a fair question, right? How big is a kebaya? So my Rebbe used to give me the rule of thumb is if you can picture a bakery loaf of rye bread, a 2-pound loaf of rye. You take a slice in the middle of the loaf. That's a kebaya. That's the amount of a kebaya. So a person having one full slice of rye bread, that would be enough to make a bracha of Alat Yisadayim. Sometimes you have, it's relevant in chinuch issues, you have a kid, you know, to wash your hands and make a bracha, you know, and then the kid is like, you know, this much mechala, or this, you didn't wear mechalachim properly if you're letting him eat that much bread afterwards. Because he wasn't chayav to make a bracha al tizadayim in that situation. So if you know the kid's not going to eat so much bread, don't make al tizadayim with him. Because you mean mechanic him to make al tizadayim for the wrong size. Like, you know, some schools have this policy, all kids have to wash for lunch. And they all wash and they all make a bracha. And they all bench. So some of the kids don't even eat. A point on that is, if a child does not eat a kazayas, or a person, adult doesn't eat a kazayas of bread, and you make hamoitzi in any amount of bread you're eating. But that it patters all the other foods from brachas only if you eat a kazayas. So if I eat a small piece of bread like this, I make a moitzi on it. But I still have to make a bracha on all my other foods. I have to make a bracha on the meat and the chicken, whatever else I'm eating. And obviously you wouldn't bench that situation either. So, you know.
Does that mean you have to eat the kazayas before you eat the other, or is it you only eat it on the
So there is a Dogum Revolver which raises the question that maybe you should have to eat the kazayas beforehand. The logic is once you have a kazayas of bread, everything else becomes secondary to the bread, so it's all clued to the bracha for the bread. That's his argument. He says, Lachar, you should have to eat the kazayas beforehand. The most sheet is whole. As long as you're planning to eat a kazayas, that's sufficient.
Would you wash hands without a bracha if you're going to eat kazayas or less? Or just say...
When Mishra comes out, you wash hands without a bracha if you're eating a kebaya or less.
Right, you wash without a bracha.
Right.
And interesting, could I train kids just to wash their hands without a bracha if they're not
going to
eat more?
It's very confusing. That, you know, you're asking a good chinuch question. We'll give a class on chinuch a different time. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure. It's a confusing thing, you know. But part of training for once you get to the age where they have a chiyuv to train them, part of the training is there sometimes yes and sometimes no. They need to let as well, right?
Kazayas is enough though, or no, or it has to be for that.
Mishabur comes out, you should not make a bracha less than a kebaya. Right?
So that would apply kids too, I guess.
What?
So that would.
Yeah,
look
her.
I don't know if they ever eat a kebaya.
They will, don't worry. Sometimes you'll start wondering when they ever stop eating. That's a different issue. As they get older, okay? But anyway. I want to focus on the tila. There is a concept of tila for payers, so I'm not going to focus on that right now. I want to throw out one scenario which we don't necessarily think about. We talk about the tila for peiros. The shachar paskin that applies to items made from flour as well. So if you dip a donut in coffee, you have to wash your hands. You dip a cake in a drink, which is basically a water based drink, tea, coffee, something of that sort, soda, you'd be putting some type of mazonas into there, you'd have to wash your hands because it's tibula b'mashka. You're dipping it into a mashka. You want to do an orange juice is not a mashka. You want to do it, you know, unless it's reconstituted with water. Or you want to do it in grape juice, wine is a mashka, but you want to do it in coffee, tea, soda. These are all water-based. Water is a mashka. You
have to wash your hands.
No bracha, but you have to wash your hands.
So water-based, not oil?
Well, usually it's very... that's a good question. Oil means olive oil. Right, oil based would be olive oil. It's also relevant. Normally eat with a spoon. You don't have to wash. If I eat soup I put mandels in the soup. That's not a problem because I don't usually eat soup with my hands, right? But that type of thing. So it's normally done with that. But you'll dip in the food and you're eating with your hands. You know, you dip the donuts or something into your coffee. That's very common. You do it by hands. That's a problem.
So Rebbe, is that? For vessels that only on the reason of structure, but has nothing to do with cleanliness, because if it was cleanliness, you would always be washing your hands.
That's a structural measure, right? Correct. So the kli which we use, the kli preferably should not have any cracks in it, not any holes in it, etc. If it does have a crack, so or part of it like sort of worn out, you can still use it as long as you pour from the lower portion. In other words, what happens is the bottom of the kli is still the total kli. The top is where you have the problem. So if you wash them, so if I have, let's say, something like this, and I got a piece of it got pulled out, you know, something at the bottom got pulled out, so I can wash over that rim. That's fine. I shouldn't wash over here. I should wash over the dafka from the place where there is the crack, which is counterintuitive to some extent. I'm using disposable cups for washing purposes. So Mersha has a chuba. Mersha also cannot. Moshe holds that the same hat that Moshe has, you're allowed to open cans and these type of things on Shabbos, because since they're disposable, that makes them considered like a non-kli. So the flip side of that is you can't use it for kiddush according to Moshe, you can't use it for washing the tefillin.
Why is this?
But Moshe has it. It's based on a Mishnah in Mishnah's Kalim. That kalim, which were disposable. Interestingly enough, we think that we came up with the idea of disposable kalim. So that they have disposable kalim in the time of Chazal as well, and it says it's not makabel tuma. So assuming that not makabel tuma means is think of the fact that it's not a kli. So Rosh says whatever you need a kli. So Rosh is makadosh. So on Shabbos it's not a problem of opening it because you're not opening a kli. You're not at that point in time, and for washing purposes or for kiddush purposes, it's not a kli, so you can't use it. Rav Henkin actually held that he seemed to hold not like that, that you could use it. So this is not such a well-known. The other person would say that you could use it. Many persons you could use it now. And current immersion is no difference. As long as the natural way you use it is one time and then throw it out. So if you have a very, very hard disposable kli, which some people might actually wash and reuse, maybe that's better. That might be an argument that would be better. Doubling up, I see some people like they double up for kiddush. I cannot explain to you the logic behind that, but you know what that is exactly why that's so. I don't know whether I'm sure they have some reason why they do that. Mishmar says when using a faucet to wash, you don't have any cup, you want to use a faucet. So there is a case in a loch of using a faucet. It's talking about if you had a large barrel and you had a spigot on the bottom of the barrel, so the barrel is a kli, and you're washing from the kli. All right, so then the next question is, but there's a second requirement of Kaya Kavar. It has to come, a person, it has to come under human intervention, human power. I'm opening and closing it, so the water which is immediately next to the spigot is called, I'm sending that water, but I'm using a kli. In our modern system, the faucet which is attached to the sink is part of the reservoir water, etc. That's not a kli. It doesn't have a din of a kli, and therefore that would not be valid for the Tilsa Daim. A person, when they wash it, they should have in mind that Mishmar passes that a person, when you wash, you should think that your purpose of your washing is to make your hands proper for the eating purposes. And Mishmar passes, if you didn't, you're not Yotze. Now, a lot of people argue with Mishmar, but the Mishmar takes it that chomer. So obviously, the Chatkila, we should have in mind what we're doing. Washing in a bathroom is a common issue. You have a cup, but you you can't take it out, you know, whatever it is, you need no place to pour it out, you want to wash in the bathroom. So the halakha is, washing in the bathroom, many poskim are make a lawn, as long as you dry your hands outside. So you're finishing the process of the tahara outside of the bathroom. Another example of that, by the way, is there's a question about washing in one room and moving to another place after you wash. It's a common issue sometimes by a chassid or something of that sort. So the best thing over there, Scheinberg says that the best thing over there, it would be that you wash over there, but you dry your hands as you're going. So you're finishing drying your hands right next to the place you're going to be eating. So we understand that the washing and drying are all part of the process of the tahara process. So you're completing it right next to where you're going to be eating. So that wouldn't be a hapsik.
I mean, that would apply like every Friday night. Most people
from one room to the other, which is visible, that's not an issue. The more it was kind of like, you know, you're like you have a whole different section of the building, like by some of these classes and hotels and stuff like that.
Without okay. having kavana that you're going to be eating over there, would that help?
Pashas, it's not necessarily such a good idea that it would work. One more common issue is washing the house going out to the sukkah. Right? That's mamash going outside. That would be an issue of that. Okay, I think we're going to have to do a second half of this shir of the tila, different time. Let's move to, because we got the 3 minutes. So move to one makshav on the parsha. And so somebody asked me, the Rashi over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he argues to, Hashem says he wants to destroy Klai Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, blames the Kodesh Baruch. He says, what do you want from them? You gave them all this kesef, you gave them all this, you know, what do you want from them? And he gives an analogy. So they take a young man, you wash him, you anoint him, you give him to eat, you give him to drink, and he feels very comfortable with himself, etc. You put a money bag around his neck, and you put him in front of a base of Zaynus. What do you want from the guy Shlayechta? That's what Rashi says. So somebody said to me, "No, that's our society. So what do you want from us? We're all potter according to Rashi, right? We're comfortable. We have food. We have drink. We have anything accessible whatever we want. Everything is accessible, and we have the wherewithal to access it. So what do you want from us? That's what he asked me. Okay." He was serious. The funny one wasn't saying it was a joke. He was like, he wanted to tell, like, you know, why isn't it an argument? So I said, I asked him, if you look at the mushul, I wonder, why does it say a ben? Why is it the point of ben? A man who's in that situation. The point is not the fact that you, right? What's the point of a ben? So a ben, the point of a ben is that he doesn't have life experience. He doesn't understand the consequences of what's going to happen after he does the veirus. He doesn't understand the impact it's going to have on him. Right? Klai, so after Har Sinai, they've left the world of chetz. The Malchamavis has no sheet over them. The Yitzhar has no sheet over them. They've left that world. And they didn't realize the impact. Adam Rishon in Gan Eden didn't understand what it means, the impact of chetz. You can't imagine that. You know, everybody says if they win the lottery, they'd be happy. You know, the studies have shown that most people win the lottery are not happy. We can't understand the Nisoyna, what it means to, you know, walk into $1 billion. We think we'll handle it, but we can't. But imagine a person did it once. He's not going to make a mistake a second time. Klai Yisrael is not a ben anymore. Klai Yisrael did chet. We saw the impact. We saw the results. We don't have that argument anymore. We understand that it's negative. We understand that the seemingly positive gains are outweighed tremendously by the negative elements, and therefore you can't control yourself. Even though it seems to be tempting, but, you know, tempting to eat poison is not kishmak. Right? Alamai, you didn't know it's poison. The first time you didn't understand that it's poison. So in that sense, you're compared to a ben. The second time, you're not a ben anymore. You have no excuse. So that argument doesn't apply to our society. We understand that there's negative impact. We've seen it time and time and time again. Just maybe to finish up one. There's people are, let's say, I'm not denigrating anybody. I'm not, you know, people's challenges. Right? Most of the things that many times people do, it's because they're used to it or they feel depressed, frustrated, etc. They just, you know, want to do something And the alcohol does it also. There's very few alcoholics who will tell you that in the long run it really helped their happiness in their lives. Right? So that's the same thing is true by any of it. In the long run, nobody's ever thought, wow, I'm so happy that I'm ever. It doesn't work. So it's hard to say that at this point in time we have the innocence of a ben anymore that we can claim afterwards we didn't realize. Okay.